historic weekend, no matter what happens.
Training standards will increase, expectations will increase. I just can't go against Ballyhale.
The Club Championship Show. Subscribe to the GAA podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
OTB AM. With Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
It's 11 minutes past 8. You're very welcome back. You'll have heard in the ad break there a true hero of the Women's National League, Kylie Murphy of Wexford Utes, catching up with Karen and Kathleen on this week's episode of the Koi Gig Pod on OTB Sports in association with Cabri FC, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland's Women's National Team. You can get the full episode right now in all your usual podcast spots, or you can watch it back on the Off The Ball YouTube channel as well. Right, we are turning our attention back to the Champions League. Couple of games tonight. You've got RB Salzburg against Bayern Munich at 8 o'clock, but at the same time, you've got Inter Milan at home to Liverpool at the San Siro, and this is what we are focusing on for the next little while. Delighted to welcome Phil Thompson back to the show. Phil, how are you getting on?
Good morning, guys. Very good, thank you. Very good. Enjoyed the football last night. Wow, Man City were blew them away. Absolutely blew them away. I thought there'd be more goals in the other one, but just one.
Yeah, Thibaut Courtois, pretty good at football, it turns out, to limit the amount of goal scoring there. We wanted to get you on, Phil, because obviously we'll preview the match in just a second, but Liverpool at the San Siro is a fairly interesting story. And if we go back to 1965, this is the season we want to focus on. I'm sure you were only a young fella at this point, Phil. So I'm wondering how much you actually recall about this season, because this was a European Cup semi-final. The first leg at Anfield, the second leg in San Siro. A great home first leg, which you were at, I understand. But a bit of a disaster in the second leg and a very controversial tie, all told.
Yeah, it was. We didn't have as much TV coverage, but obviously watching that game back was so disappointing. Yes, I was at that first game at Anfield. My mum got us tickets right in the front row of the Kenmare Road, as it was then. Now it's the Sir Kenny Dalglish stand. And Jerry Byrne, Gordon Milne brought the cup round within touching distance of us. So it's a massive occasion. Inter Milan were one of the great sides in Europe. And of course, we blew them away 3-1, which was absolutely terrific. So going over there full of hope, knowing it was going to be difficult. And what was to unfold was extremely disappointing. Even now when I think back about it, seeing what happened, St. John's disallowed goal and the ball getting kicked out of Tommy Lawrence's hand. And there was, straight away, everybody was looking and talking about it. And I think there was a big inquest into it many years later, which was quite proven about the officials in the game.
Yeah, I think we have video of the ball getting kicked out of Lawrence's hand, which we'll put on screen here now. So goalkeeper picks up the ball, brings it back into the box. The Inter Milan player sneaking behind him and takes the ball off him into the back of the net. And you can see the Liverpool players following the referee here at this point in something we may not see. Well, like, I mean, it's like Chelsea that time with Michael Ballack and Drogba chasing the referee, to be quite honest with you. But in 1965, maybe a little bit more aggressive. It was one of a number of different moments in this match. There was obviously a free kick that was given as an indirect free kick, but Inter Milan take it directly, goes into the back of the net, which Liverpool weren't happy about at that point. Like, what's interesting for me, Phil, is that you're experiencing this not in real time, because as you say, television coverage was in a completely different place at the point. So you're right at the front for the home leg. How do you experience that away leg? How do you find out about the controversy and, I guess, the events of that night when you can't even watch the game?
Yeah, well, we did see it. I can't remember whether it was on the television live, but I have seen what you're explaining there many, many times, which was so disappointing. And then, obviously, all the controversy that was to surround it afterwards. And I think it was many years later, I think, in conversation about the referee, the officials. Not that it was proven 100%. I don't know where I'm sort of getting this from. But it was, and it was brought about that they did find out that things happened that shouldn't have done. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and there was question marks, certainly, around Inter. Not necessarily in this game, but later on, you had the secretary of Inter Milan, who was accused of taking part in match-fixing scandals. Granted, this was about 8 years later. A European Cup semi-final against Derby County, when he had gone to Juventus in 73, he was under allegations. Like, I mean, he was never found guilty, but there was definitely a bit of a cloud around the whole thing.
Yeah, it was so disappointing at the time, because it was, you know, Liverpool were the Merseyside was the place to be, with the music, with the humour, certainly with the football, with Liverpool and Everton. They had great teams. So this, we were flying, the Shankly team, everything was wonderful, the Cop was in full flow. It was, so the expectation was there, you know, to win, go and win the European Cup would have been massive at that time. And to have it taken away the way it was so disappointing. So even for me as a young lad, you know, people of a certain age will remember back, and I know there's so many sort of thousands, millions of Liverpool fans there in Ireland, but people of a certain age will remember it. It was such a glorious opportunity that was taken away from us.
It was Liverpool's first season in Europe. It must have been a pretty exciting, borderline exotic thing, having Inter Milan come to town and being at those European nights.
Do you know, just being there, sitting there on the front row at Anfield, and Inter Milan coming, I think it was something, a legendary manager, Herrera, I think his name was.
Eleanio Herrera, yeah.
He was one of the big names then in world football, never mind European football. So this was so exciting, and I can remember the steam coming off the Kop that night. It was hard to actually watch the game when, just as an impressive sort of 11-year-old, just sitting there looking, gawping at this mass of swaying people, them singing, and in the end, them singing, "Go back to Italy." And it was just fantastic. It was, as growing up, as being a Liverpool fan, certainly of a youngster, and coming out of the second division and taking a grip of the first division and then sort of going to conquer Europe was just a great feat in itself. But we were all there. We were all with the players. We were all with Shankly. It was a great moment. Nice to reminisce, by the way.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it is, in a weird way, sometimes these defeats take on a legend of their own, but they also feed the desire for a club and a team and a city to conquer. Like, you as an 11-year-old end up being part of the team who eventually wins the European Cup for the city of Liverpool.
It become a bit of a holy grail, as we're saying with Manchester City. Now it makes no difference when you haven't won something, which is quite precious. It makes that desire to go and do it, and it keeps eluding you. And you think, so that heartbreak of the guys of the 60s was our motivation in the 70s to sort of drive forward and grasp it. And once you break that, it became, you understood Europe, you had a way of playing in European football, taking care of the away leg, making sure then that the spirit of Anfield would take over. All those things, 77 then, against Mönchengladbach in Rome, sort of opened the doors to winning it. Yes, we'd won the UEFA Cup in 72, 73, 75, 76, but winning the European Cup was then the holy grail, and to do it. And then 78, and then my special moment, 81. It was the wonderful moments to come, but it was driven by those guys in the 60s.
How important was that, I guess, then for yourself to have that connection to the club so early? I guess you talk about it there, the idea that those moments of heartbreak kind of fuel the appetite to try and get over the line. But I guess your own sense of familiarity with that specific type of heartbreak was really important. The fact that you knew the club, you were watching the club, you weren't a blow-in to Liverpool, to say the least.
No, it was like that. We were just starting to sort of stake our name, and, you know, goodness gracious, a team of youngsters called Ajax of Amsterdam give us a right sort of, we thought they were the minnows, and they battered us 5-1 over in Amsterdam on a very foggy night. You know, you remember all these things and the heartache that it brought on. And Ajax went on, and Johan Cruyff went on to be wonderful players, world-class players. So all these things you're watching unfold. See, we didn't have the satellite television that we have now, and they're able to see multitude of games, but you've got these games on grainy television back in those mid-60s. The match of the day was starting, I think, was 64. So you were getting fed this thing, and you wanted more of it. As a fan, you know, it was all standing. Then the cop was in full flow. So you witness it. So that not being able to have it, which was winning that European Cup, did fuel that. And it was wondrous going to other countries, watching the football being played, what they were like. And then when I was to become part of it, was that great feeling, how you prepared to take on European opposition. So it was quite unique. It was an absolute wonderful time to be a footballer and starting to conquer Europe.
It wasn't a bad season that year for Liverpool. I think they parade the FA Cup that night you're talking about there when you beat Inter Milan in the first leg.
And it was. That was, again, we're reminiscing. That is still one of my greatest ever moments of in our history, because that has become something, the FA Cup. That was the Holy Grail. It was massive back in the day because it was a glamorous day out at Wembley. And to win the European Cup for the very first time for Liverpool Football Club, you know, coming out of the second division, winning the league, winning the cup, winning the league again, was just, it was crazy. It was great times, and you could believe that you could go and do anything. Anything was possible with this man.
I just have one last question, just kind of on the while we're on memory lane here. Like, how did your perception of away days, specifically in Italy, change down through the years? Obviously, there was an incredibly hostile atmosphere waiting for Liverpool in the return leg, but that hostile atmosphere doesn't ever change. You know, it is the stereotype that going to Italy is not only a battle against quite a robust set of individuals, it is also a cauldron that you tend to be stepping into. Does that change at all? Does your relationship or your perception of away nights in Italy change over the decades?
I think as a player, it was always there. You knew it was a cauldron. San Siro had such a name. I never played there, but the San Siro had such a name, such passionate. As though we felt we were passionate in England, you had all this. It was so vibrant away from, you knew you were up against it. You knew that crowd, as we always felt at Anfield, that they could sway officials, is that in Italy, you just knew, playing for your national team, playing for your team, it was just, you knew that was going to be one of the biggest games. And it was. You could go to Germany, you could go to Spain, and you would have atmospheres that were electric. There, as you said, was hostile, and you knew that you had to do it. It's even the same now. I was very wary. My sons wanted to go to Milan, and I was wary of them going. Thankfully, in the end, they couldn't get flights, which I was that. But it creates that sort of atmosphere, and still does.
How hostile do you think it's going to be for Liverpool tonight?
I think it's going to be massive. Possibly, thankfully, there's only going to be 50% capacity in there. And I think I was reading something, it's still going to be 40,000. Liverpool is huge once again. We became one of the biggest names in Europe in the 70s, and it is so now. So it'd be massive in itself. Players will raise their game. Good players, great players that they have, will raise their game again. They've wrestled the title off Juventus last season, and they're proven as though they're on the way back, as is AC Milan. But we did enough to see off AC Milan, and I see no reason, it still will be tight, but no reason why we shouldn't beat Inter.
I think one of the main successes of Klopp in recent seasons, and it's really since he's arrived, is that these games that Liverpool are the better team in, they have on balance tended to win them. There's a confidence when we talk about how well Liverpool will perform, There's no inconsistency. There's been no real flakiness in European football, maybe with a few exceptions over the last number of years. But generally, they win these games that they're supposed to win.
Yeah, it is. He's got that sort of knack. I said to you before, back in the sort of 60s, and we learned from it. We had a knack in European football of how you're doing it. And it doesn't change. You've got to be that way where you go abroad and you stick together. And that is so important. I mean, as a team, as units, defence, midfield and attack, you keep together, you defend together, you attack at the right time. And all these things, Klopp seems to have that way of playing. I think he plans for the Champions League games, obviously more than the League Cup or the FA Cup games. They take massive priority, and so he gives them great focus, which seems to, and has proved great to Liverpool. You know, two Champions League finals is no mean feat, and it's great to win one of them. It was sad the other one in Kiev, but hopefully, we have many good nights, because English teams once again are going to be very, very hard to beat.
The other thing that's happened at the moment is that for whatever reason, everybody seems fit, which almost never happens. At the moment, there are some selection and headache issues, and the bench is strong, and the players not making the bench is pretty strong too. So with that comes just an uptick in form, and it's kind of a virtuous circle.
It is. It's great to have them fit. He was juggling so much last year, and some of the young lads who've come in some of those European games were truly amazing how they handle the situations. But now he's got them all fit. Now the selection headaches come in. Who plays? Probably the back four picks itself if they're all fit. Matip has been excellent. But it's just that midfield area and the one position up front. I would imagine, because Jota has sort of done so well filling in, I shouldn't really say that, for Mane, for Salah, because they've been away. He's carried the team, scored the goals. I would think he'll come in for Bobby Firmino up front. And then there's the what happens in midfield. Fabinho's a starter, and you're looking either side. I know people will say Henderson's not been great of late, but he has that experience. He has that energy. And then I think you need to keep the ball tonight. And I think that's where Thiago didn't play at the weekend, didn't start, sorry. And I think he's saving them for this game.
They're obviously Champions League contenders, given the strength and depth, the quality of the field, that they're playing, the manager's understanding of it. And it was just interesting to see Trent Alexander-Arnold not backing away from any of this with his comments about, he was obviously asked, are you in any way envious or jealous of Manchester City? He's like, well, why would we be? You know, we've won the competition that they can't win. It's not a knock on them, but we've won this. So they're feeling themselves and they're feeling self-confident.
Yeah, there is. I thought it was he was asked that, trying to sort of fuel something. And as you say, he didn't shy away from it. He said, yeah, Manchester City, and they are a wonderful side. I love watching them. They were truly terrific last night. But yes, they do have that holy grail. Liverpool have been able to mount it to win that title. And they had that disappointment against Chelsea last year, which will fuel their ambition. But Trent is rightly saying is that, yes, we can compete with you on the same levels. Liverpool, we've got Leeds next midweek, which should be our game in hand. So it'll hopefully transpire that it'll still be a title race. But it's hard, because I did feel for Trent the way he got asked of it. But he handled it very, very well, the young man.
Just that, like, if you kind of zoom out a little bit from it, at the end of the season, I know this is not how Jurgen Klopp is going to prioritise things whatsoever, but does the Champions League take precedence over the Premier League? Because to win the Premier League from this position, you would say, would be unbelievably sweet, and there is still kind of an inkling of a chance there.
I think the Premier League should always be your bread and butter. It's been ever thus. Yes, the Champions League is wonderful. I always would like to think that the guys do, and at this moment there still is a chance of it, and it will be juggling the both of them. There won't be priority in them at the moment. I would think he knows that there still is a chance with this team, the way they're playing, with everybody fit. And the big game when it comes up against Manchester City will be absolutely huge. And that's a little bit of a way. So there's no way to sort of identify, right, let's put all our eggs into the Champions League basket. It's still all to play for. And there's still, as we speak, Liverpool are fighting on four fronts at the moment.
Yeah, it's the difficulty, that little patch they had where things didn't go their way, that made everybody just feel like the title race was over. The recovery of form they've had would suggest that they can see this out for the rest of the season. Are Manchester City just too good at the moment, though, Phil? Is that the problem?
That is a real difficult one. As I've just said to you, Manchester City are it's when you get on those runs, Manchester City, I look at them sometimes and you go, from Christmas through to the end of the season, Manchester City can win every football match. They are that good. If they keep their best players fit, they can win every football match. My Liverpool team, fantastic team. We can win all our games. And you do have that little bit of a doubt that can we do that? Whereas you go, and City can easily do that. And that is there's something about my team which is just slightly different than Manchester City. We can maybe have that sort of one slip up where you don't feel like Manchester City can. They are in that flow at the moment. And it's not just the team, it goes through individuals. You're looking at Raheem Sterling coming back. You see Bernardo Silva last night. You know, he was out at one point and he's come back a better player. John Stones has. And so this man Guardiola makes players even better. And I think that is the worry for us all, is that I cannot wait until Pep leaves, because I think he's the most most sensational coach.
Yeah, it's a bit of an issue, all right. There's no sign of that happening anytime soon. But maybe, look,
are you sure?
He's due a trip to New York, right? He's a couple of years to hang out and watch some basketball or something. Phil, good stuff. Great to have you with us. Thanks.
Guys, great stuff. Enjoy the game tonight.
Cheers. Is there any sign of Pep? Like, so in the immediate aftermath of the Super Bowl win, Sean McVay, pre-game, he was like, it was confirmed that he's staying by one of the insiders. And then afterwards he was asked about it. He was like, well, we'll see. It's like, what? I mean, these super intense coaches sometimes do decide to... So if they were to win the Champions League, would he walk away? Is there a possibility?
I'm not sure Pep would walk away with that lack of notice, to be honest. I think that we're probably going to know about Pep's decision probably at this point in the season it does happen. It does feel that he would telegraph it a little bit.
No, I don't know.
You don't know?
Lame duck? No. Can't be a lame duck.
OTB AM. With Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.